It's Mike Shope.
I have a thought that's probably dumb, but it's not definitely dumb, so I'm going to say it.
And the Bulldog.
Alan Hearns. Get out!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, Flex News in a moment. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Bill Sabres, UB, 803-0550. Personal questions. Why not?
Sure. I'm an open book.
I make no promises.
I'm an open book, kind of. I mean, until you ask me something I just can't answer.
Or don't want to.
Don't want to answer, then I'll just lie.
We have Kevin on WGR. Hello, Kevin.
That's allowed, right?
Sure.
Hey, Shelton Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling us.
Yeah, man. My comments about Matt Barkley. So I guess I'm just surprised how quickly McDermott came to a decision with starting Allen. I thought it would be worth mulling over for a little bit. And, you know, when he justified his decision, he referenced, a situation back in Philadelphia with A.J. Feely. And I don't see what that has to do with, you know, the 2018 Buffalo Bills. So
I think I do. Thanks, Kevin. The comparison is that A.J. Feely is replacement or replaceable, and so is Matt Barkley. I think that's his point. And it doesn't surprise me that he, like, as you put it, rushed to that decision, because when you feel when the reason the Bills are doing this takes precedence, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. You just would always do this. Guys don't lose jobs to injury. McDermott said that on Monday on the air. So it doesn't, it's not a matter of thinking about it. If that's your rule, then there's no time consideration. It's just that's the rule.
Yeah, and I think the rule is waiting to be turned on its head, though. Like, if they have a better record and Barkley had been here and played all these games that Derek Anderson played, and the Bills are 5-5, then maybe there's no mention of losing your job to injury. Then it's just doing what's best for the football team, because we're in a playoff race, and I've got to consider what's best for us, and it's delicate. It's a balancing act between the now and the future. Allen clearly is the future, and it's not worrying about this season. And that, I think, is the exactly right approach that McDermott should have. So I wasn't surprised that he got to it quickly. I thought he would, and he did. And I think it's absolutely the right decision, because Josh Allen is ultimately what is going to determine the future here, not Matt Barkley. Despite whatever, you've got some new stat to drop on me. I think Matt Barkley is Matt Barkley, and I think he's probably a journeyman guy, and that's what he is. That's who he's going to be, and I got to find out if Josh Allen can play. I'm not wasting games trying to figure out if Matt Barkley is my savior. I did that all the years that I didn't have Josh Allen on my team, all the years that I didn't draft a guy, and I had Jeff too. We opened the show today talking about actually Bills. Was that what it was?
Yes.
You got a list of guys who played here that we hoped could be good, because we didn't know yet if they were terrible. And I don't know. I guess if I'm falling into a trap, assuming Matt Barkley's terrible, guilty. I'm just ready to have Josh Allen get back in, and that's what I want to happen. That's what I think it will happen.
Like, that's all fine. It's just I'm thinking about the player. That what matters to me is the team. But I think about whether it's an efficient model, and I think about whether Barkley has a chance in a scenario like that. And a lot of people can relate to this from their own life experience, and usually, like, we're Matt Barkley in life, not Josh Allen. Most people are.
I think that's right.
Are not Josh Allen.
I think that's why we always gravitate to that guy. That guy hasn't had his chance yet. That's why I think even you still had last week people telling you Peterman didn't get enough of a chance, because they want that guy to come through, because they see themselves in some way maybe in that guy. I think that's right.
Yeah, Allen has a status and an importance in the organization, so that they're going to make exceptions for him. They're going to rearrange their priorities for him. We don't so much need to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars as we do need to find out whether our quarterback can get better. Like, that's the unique situation that teams like the Bills, use. That's their defense. He has to play to improve. And so, A is he's a rookie who will probably struggle because he's a rookie. B is he has to play to improve. So there's no choice but to go through these growing pains, you know, the same sort of terms are used every time. But you necessarily then turn your back on outliers. You necessarily turn your back on players who might be able to do the job as well or better, but you just have not made that investment. And isn't this something that people have at their own jobs where there's a guy that, you know, the boss knew, or he's a family friend, or he's just somebody that from out of town that has been for some reason chosen to do this, but I know the market and I know the I have the contacts and I've done the grunt work. So what about it? But your company is doing this other thing. And you might, like, you're Matt Barkley. You might think, I can do that. Let me prove it. And they're like, I'm sorry, we're not going to let you prove it. Right. We're going to let this other person do the thing we think he can do that we've hired him to do.
Yeah, it was all lined up. Sorry, it was predetermined, really. And that's what's happening here. This was predetermined. They drafted Josh Allen, 7th overall. They traded up 2 times to make that happen and gave up a lot of stuff, including Cordy Glenn, to make it happen. So Matt Barkley gets called because quarterbacks are dropping like flies and throwing interceptions all over the place, so they need a guy. So he shows up and like, okay, you get to do this. Guess what? Your number came up. You get to do it. It almost doesn't matter how well you do.
Yeah.
You know, now, but I think there's a limit to that, too. You know, like, I think if you have a different opponent and an even better game, you know, like, a part of this to me is it was the Jets. And I know they're an NFL team and, you know, where they rank defensively or whatever, but the game was easy. And I don't think it was easy because Matt Barkley is so good. The game was easy because the Jets were dogs. And, like, that happens in the league sometimes. And, you know, he completed 15 passes. You know, if I've got the Patriots and it's a gunfight and he outduels Tom Brady, I think I might have a conversation. I mean, we're having a conversation. I think I might be more willing to consider it. I'm just, you know, I don't know. He could have been picked off 3 or 4 times in that game alone, and they just didn't do it. So I don't feel like I watched a guy deserve more or win a job. I watched a guy have an okay day throwing the football for the Bills and like, okay.
So it's 2 different things for you. One is that Allen's going in for me almost no matter what.
Right.
2 is it really wasn't as impressive to me as it might have been to someone else.
Right.
So I don't really need to even think for a second about changing my my way here, my plans.
That's absolutely it for me. Yep.
Anthony is next. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Good evening to you. So everybody needs to calm down about Barkley. What I think we potentially found is a sustainable backup. The Bills quarterback position has been so putrid this year that he comes in and has a decent day and everybody wants to anoint him the starter. So somebody from the Jets had said that, you know, this doesn't have to be correct, but I did read that they said that the Jets were anticipating that Allen was going to start. They didn't really have time to prep for Barkley, so that is part of it because that they had no film to really watch on him. So that probably played a role in it. But, you know, the season is lost. I think if maybe we had 2 or 3 less losses and it was maybe even remotely possible that we could sneak into the playoffs or whatever you want to call it, McDermott might have went with Barkley maybe more. But, you know, we're 2-7. If the season's over, and I think, you know, McDermott had an epiphany where, you know, it's time to get Allen in there. It's time to really just leave him in there. And, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, maybe Barkley is a decent backup for us.
Okay. Thank you, Anthony.
He might even – I mean, I don't know. We'll get a chance to talk to him again after this all settles and they play a game against Jacksonville. He might think that Allen gives them a better chance to win. He might think that. I think that might sound insane. But again, like, looking at the game, how good was Barkley really? What was the condition of the opponent? I know what Allen – I mean, Allen has not had a game. The closest is the Minnesota game, and they were, you know, 20 yards from the Vikings end zone when they got the ball most of the day, most of the first half anyway. So, but I wonder, like, if McDermott would actually want to fly the flag. I think he might want to say it because he likes to hold up. I'm doing what's, you know, best for both.
I totally agree. You're saying he could, and I agree that he could.
No.
Allen was the quarterback when they won in Minnesota. Allen was the quarterback when they beat Tennessee. He's mentioned a couple of times, at least, how they were in the game in Houston and he made a good play on which he was injured against the Texans. Like, they were right there against the Texans. Yep. So and that's the last we've seen of him. The Indianapolis game isn't on Josh Allen. The Bears game isn't on Josh Allen. The Patriots are the Patriots. So, and Allen didn't play anyway.
Yeah, I think how he said it about the Houston game is he thought he was having his best game and then followed that up with, and he made his best throw on the play he got hurt on. Like, I don't know. Should I go back and look at his numbers from the Houston game? I mean, I don't remember it being like...
No, they weren't good.
Right.
But
anyway,
they were ahead.
So, yeah, I think more than just... Like, I don't care if that's true or not. Well, I shouldn't say I don't care. I would find it interesting if he really thought... After what Barkley did against the Jets, that Allen was still the best option for them to win on Sunday when they play Jacksonville, a week from Sunday. But I don't need it for this. Like, I'm just, he plays no matter what. I don't want to hear about it. He's your best chance to win. He's who you should be building and play him, and that's it for me.
Okay. Andrew is with us. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Bulldog, man, I wish you were in our group chat earlier. I was getting heated over this. I mean,
he was.
The whole thing with this is, as Bills fans, I mean, we haven't had consistent quarterback play in 20 years. So here comes Barkley. He delivers a great game at the quarterback position, which, as Bills fans, probably foaming at the mouth to see, which was great. Made some nice throws, and that's great. But the bottom line is, we didn't move around resources and make a big investment on a guy at the seventh overall pick just to wait and see. I think that if you keep starting Barkley, you're just wasting time. You already threw out Allen into the mix. You got to go through it. You got to see it through to see what that investment was before you go back to the resource drawing board and go, all right, where are we going to go next with our resources to make up for this position? I mean, you got to see what Allen's about because you gave up so much resources, so many resources just to get him on the team. And I think Barkley had a great game, could be a great backup, but what, for the last year and a half, if I'm not mistaken, 32 teams, including the Bills, didn't want him on the team. So I don't know. I think it's just a quarterback-deprived fan base that just really liked what they saw in a 41-10 win. That's what I think.
Thank you, Andrew. Are you sure Bulldog was not in your group chat? He likes to sneak into those.
Yeah, I've got a few different usernames. Got a few burner accounts. Remember burner accounts?
Yes.
The summer, the 76ers, right? I do think that's a part of it. I don't know that there's a lot of clamoring. I mean, is there clamoring? Like, you brought it up because I think it's interesting to think about the way teams decide
right. Who's
going to play and who's anointed and who's not and all that. And, like, I dig that conversation. I don't think you're actually clamoring. I think you're just pondering. And I don't know. I don't feel like I'm being overrun by people going, he's got to play, he's got to play, he's got to play. So I don't know about clamoring.
This is how the world talks now.
Yeah, right.
This guy's mentioning clamoring, and Anthony called and said everybody wants him to play. I mean, I doubt even the majority of fans want him to play.
But I mentioned that on like Sunday there were a few people run the table and all that. And I said to somebody I know on postgame, like, we are so messed up by bad quarterback play that we get a decent 15 completion game out of Matt Barkley, and we're just like, yeah, ride him, which I think is, you know, I think there's a special kind of fan base that would react like that.
And I'll just make my point again quickly. I think the whole thing about playing Allen is reasonable, and I get it. It's this caller's argument is perfectly logical. I just know how bad the NFL is at evaluating talent. And there are probably hundreds of good players that got washed out because they weren't high picks. The guys who could have been good players, different systems with a different, not only systems like in terms of schemes, but just a system overall for how players have careers. That they're just longer or somehow, whatever. Like, if the roster's a lot bigger, maybe if practices are year-round or something, you have more time to figure out who your best guys are. But everything is a rush job. The whole season itself is a rush job. Conclusions are made week to week. They change week to week. And so nobody has that kind of time. The players don't, the coaches don't, and the GMs don't. They don't have that kind of time. So they gang up stuff and pay for one kid. And of course, they are not going to cut that short, whatever that, you know, ends up meaning. And I think that leaves guys like this. I like, you know, Mike Tenier on with us earlier. Wasn't impressed with Barkley Sunday. Wasn't impressed with him when he played for Philly. But he did, in his commentary about him, he did point out something that I have not thought of. That going into his senior year, he was number one.
Yep.
Like, he was Darnold before Darnold at USC. Like, he was, and you have Jake Locker, who was this, too, in his career. And his NFL career lasted not long.
Brian Brown was like this, too, at Louisville.
Yeah, and that in and of itself is an interesting thing. Like, in one year, a guy who seemed all that doesn't seem all that anymore. And so, is he or isn't he? Like, it changed before he even left school. He got older. He had more experience in the same system and, you know, a better situation for success and did worse. It just, what is the overall point there? Maybe how much luck there is in it. Maybe how much people change. Maybe something else. So, Allen all makes sense, but there are lots of Barkleys that do not get a chance. And every time he goes to a new team, it's logical to think he gets less of a chance.
Right.
And now he's a journeyman to you. Now he's just a name from the past.
Sure.
And, you know, what chance does a guy like that have if that's how they see it?
Yep.
Let's go to Greg next. Hello, Greg.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Okay, so we all know that Josh is the anointed one, right? And what I think they need to do, and this is my justification for starting Barkley, is see if they have a legit backup quarterback in him. Now, yeah, he played great against the Jets, but they only had one day to game plan against him. So if a team like Jacksonville, for instance, has the opportunity to game plan against them, maybe we can really see what he's made of, right? And see if he is a legitimate backup.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Greg. This point has been made every day, and we say the same thing back every day.
Right, there's
no reason to prioritize that over who your starter is. You want to make him the backup quarterback right now, fine.
Go ahead, yeah, sign him.
Who are the backup quarterbacks on the good teams? No one knows or cares. Yeah. Like, just go ahead and announce that or declare that, decide that, and be done.
That, yeah, I can figure that out next preseason if this guy's even around. I figure it out right now off what he did against the Jets. The level of play of backup quarterback is not so good in the league that Matt Barkley should be excluded from it. It's probably a little weird that he was completely out of the league, but whatever. To me, I'm not. If I'm interested in figuring out if Josh Allen can do this job or not, I'm not wasting one of the opportunities on figuring out if his backup can play. I'm fine. He's the backup. Okay.
That's
no
it.
No problem.
Thanks, yeah. Greg. Here's Matt next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Great.
Okay. I think this is the best of both worlds here, and people are very short-sighted with this. We had already gone through this process before with Thad Lewis when we had Doug Marrone. He was good to get us a couple wins, and that's what he was there for. He's not in the NFL anymore. Our future is with Josh Allen, and he should be the starter. And it's a great point that Barkley played a good game. That's awesome. But he's our backup, and that's a roster spot that we haven't consistently had that we needed. He's not going to be the starter. Plus, it's a win for Matt Barkley because guess what? The way Josh Allen plays, I don't want this to happen. But he's probably going to get hurt again or banged up, so he's going to get another opportunity, and it's a win for him, too. He might get a couple more starts.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
I don't know about the way – I mean, Allen, what, because he runs – I mean, he get hurt running. He got hurt in the pocket, and it was an elbow that bounced off his – or a helmet that bounced off his elbow. I don't know. You can get much more fluky than that, injury-wise. So – like, the way he plays, he's going to get hurt? God, I don't know. The way he played, to me, didn't get him hurt.
Yeah, that argument needs to be sent out to sea. I mean, how many quarterbacks do we need to ignore to still think that, like, somehow, like, running guys are hurt all the time and pocket guys are never hurt. Just, like, follow the league and be open-minded, and you'll see that, that's really not an important point.
Ben Roethlisberger has been hurt numerous times in his career. I'll bet the majority of those injuries have come with him standing in the pocket, and he moves around a lot. He's not quite the athlete running that Allen is, but he gets out in space a lot and makes plays. I can remember at least two or three instances where he's gotten rolled up on in the pocket. That's it. That's
Rodgers runs. How is Rodgers hurt?
Right.
Tyrod Taylor. It's just the list goes on and on. You can't really build an argument like that, that guys who don't run get hit too, and they get hurt too. All right, we will get to sports and talk some more. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey, Kevin, have you and Draymond been able to hash anything out?
No.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I'm sure it will. We got a long season ahead.
Did he cross the line with anything last night?
I'm going to keep that in-house. That's what we do here. I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not trying to give nobody no headlines. What happened, happened. We're trying to move on. Just trying to play basketball.
Were you surprised he got suspended?
I was just focused on the game. I didn't really care either way. I was just focused on trying to come out here and finish this back-to-back off.
All right, Kevin Durant right there. A lot of drama with my Golden State Warriors. It's just that easy to like a good team. Just decide to.
You are. I'm in no condition to fight you right now.
No, I guess you're not.
I am. You can't do that.
Why?
You got to put the time in.
This is at least 2 years. I've liked him for at least 2 years. Did they lose the year before?
That's not how it works.
I don't think you can.
4 years.
They can't qualify as my until you've gone through some bad also. Because otherwise you are bandwagon.
Did you see the finals, the one they lost? I hated that. That was terrible.
Were they yours then too?
Yes.
Okay.
That must have been so depressing.
I was very sad about it. I was happy for LeBron James. But I kept thinking about that lady that yelled perpetrators and was like blaming fans for their losing to Golden State. Like, how dumb are you? I mean, it's really usually not the fans' fault that games are lost by pro sports teams. Come on.
I think most of the time that's right, yeah.
So I was not happy Cleveland won because I thought maybe she was happy. I didn't like that thought.
I try to not think about her.
Those were dark days for me with my Warriors. That 1 year they lost Game 7 of the finals. Yes, all right, Ryan is next. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay, thanks for calling, man.
Absolutely. I think, you know, with it just makes zero sense to get Barkley in there. I mean, I think he played a great game, good for him. I agree with him, you know, being maybe a suitable backup. And I think all you need is one game of not Peterman starting to cut him, and that's what happened. You know, and obviously we got our shiny new toy in Josh Allen and establishing him. You know, getting him rapport. I really like what we've done with the new receivers, getting the guy from Denver. And I thought maybe he should get like a special team of the week consideration. I don't know how Hauschka got it, but and then picking up Deontay Thompson and getting a lot of speed. I think having guys that can get separation will really help Josh Allen be able to read the field a little better. If he's not always looking at the other jersey right next to our guy, he's not going to be as nervous about chucking it. And I appreciate it.
All right. Good points. Thanks, Ryan. I have never thought for 1 minute how they decide who the special teams players of the week will be. Maybe they did consider, who was it again? McKenzie?
Yeah.
Is that who he said?
Yeah.
Maybe they did consider him. They just didn't pick him.
They picked Hauschka, right?
Yeah, that's apparently right.
Right, okay.
What do you get for that? Do you get money?
I think you get a certificate in the mail. They probably send you something official like, hey, congratulations, you're the player of the week. Maybe it's a plaque even.
I want to know.
Another reason to get Stephen Hauschka on the show for a second time. You referenced earlier, if we have a chance to talk to him again, you want to ask him.
I want to know if he can put four off the goalpost in like a session the way this Bears guy did in a game.
Now we need to know whether or not he gets a plaque for being Special Teams Player of the Week.
I also want to know if you do that. Like, say he, to me, this is possible. Kickers in the NFL hear about that and go, I wonder if I could do that if I tried. Like, mm-hmm. Do they all know how likely they would be to hit the post on a given kick. So maybe somebody's inclined to go out and try to do it, and then I'd want to know, do you think maybe it could mess with you?
Right. Like the home run derby messes with players' swings in the middle of the season. I don't want to start hitting the post because if I get good at hitting the post,
yeah, then I'm going to start shooting for it.
I'm going to hit the post. Right.
Right. How? That's incredible, though. 4 in 1 day. Cody Parkey, I think, right, Joe, of the Bears? Pretty good. I mean, they all were misses or no? Did any of them go through?
I don't think anyone in, no. They're all misses.
These guys, you got to be like, couldn't any of those just have bounced through?
I was watching Monday Night Countdown with Owen, and like I was barely paying attention, and that must have been the, come on, man segment, or you got mossed. It probably, come on, man. I don't think you got mossed would really make sense. Like, so it was like he hit the goalpost 4 times, and it was, come on, man. And Owen said, like, I was reading, just had it on. We're sitting there waiting for the football game to come on. And Owen said, the dude hit the goalpost 4 different times? And I went, is that what they said? I guess so. Like, I'm not rewinding this. It's not interesting enough. And I don't want to hear someone go, come on, man, again. So I did know about it, I guess.
That's the story.
That's the story.
That's the whole thing.
That's what I got for you.
This is just you telling us that you did know about it?
Yeah. And making fun of Come On Man, kind of, really. That's what I do.
Okay. Here is Sam next. Hello, Sam.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Fine.
Struggling.
Great. Yeah, I understand. You know, I've been a long-time listener, maybe a first-time caller. I used to listen to you when you were with WBEN and you were with Bowerly, and then I listened to even Art Wander back in the GR days before Chuck Dish.
All right, Sam. Well, thanks for hanging with us all that time.
Yes, definitely. My pleasure. You know what? I've been thinking about the quarterback play of Barkley and, you know, how well he played. I know one game doesn't define someone, but I think we start him next game, for sure. And the reason why is we kind of plan to bench Allen from the beginning of the season anyway. We're going to play, I think, Peterman and start him, and he was supposed to do a little better for us, have Allen sit behind him. The other thing, too, is sometimes a quarterback, maybe like a starting pitcher, they come into their own a few years after like being drafted. Sometimes a goaltender as well, but I think more of like a starting pitcher or a reliever, like age 26, 28, even 30, they just all of a sudden kind of peak or they find themselves. So I'd like to give Barkley a chance, a couple more games, see how he does.
What if he does well?
That's the idea. I know Allen's the future of the franchise, okay?
So let's play it out, though. Can you do that with us? Like, what if Barkley does well? They have an easy schedule. They have the easiest schedule in the league left. They have 3 or 4 home games left. How many is it? They have home games. They have the easiest schedule. So let's say he does well. Then what do I do?
It depends on how well. You know, I mean, okay. Is he progressing? You know, what's his ability in clutch moments to come back in a fourth quarter? You know, I know it's an easier schedule. It's still every team we're playing. They're an NFL team, you know, and if he's going to improve you know, and I know he only had a first half to really play with last week, and then the second half, you know, was kind of garbage time. But, like, you know, we give him a few more games, and, you know, if he improves, does better, let Allen kind of learn from him. I know he's still the future, but there's no guarantee Allen's going to work out.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Look, there's a greater guarantee that he's not going to work out if he never plays. So you're not going to find out if he's going to work out by playing Matt Barkley anymore. What I'm obviously, I think, trying to get you to is, do you get yourself into a position where you're deciding between the two guys? And while that might seem good for the Bills, because they would be getting good quarterback play, sure. Come on. Come on. Like, that's not good for the people making these decisions. Well, we just decided Barkley was good at a half against the Jets and then a couple more times, so we're going to keep going. Like, that's embarrassing. And that's not a reflection on him. I'm sort of intrigued by him. But these things are always things where you really want to think it all the way through. And in this scenario, the Bills would be kind of not screwed, but they would be in a weird place if Barkley did well, and that's the only reason why you would consider him at all, is for him to do that. It's set up for anybody to do well here with their schedule.
Right. I think... Their handling of the quarterback position this year has been, you know, for lack of a better word right now, kind of hilarious. It's been laughable how this has gone. And that is not like at Peterman's expense, but like he's a part of it. Of course, like the decision to start him, play him again, keep him here is something that around the league, like it's a punchline. And I think if Allen is healthy and ready to return and was already someone that they were playing and wanted to see develop, and they kept Matt Barkley on the field on the basis of a big win against the Jets, it would add to the hilarity. I mean, you probably can't win either way to an extent. Like, if Allen goes in and struggles, people are going to make fun of Allen struggling because he's had a bullseye on him since before he was drafted for that. So, like, there's maybe a... It's a downside no matter what you do, but I think the Bills would look ridiculous if they kept going with Matt Barkley. With Josh Allen healthy, he's an investment. He's a first-round pick. He needs to develop. You're not developing Matt Barkley. Just cut it out. There are four home games left, yes, by the way.
Four more. Oh, how warm is it today?
Right.
They'll keep Barkley on the team. You know, I don't know what happens when Derek Anderson is healthy. Maybe they go to Derek Anderson. I don't know. They'll need another quarterback next year. Allen will be on the team next year, and they'll need at least one more. So they would have to re-sign either of those guys, but fine if they do. Nathan Peterman, by the way, who was cut on Monday night, cleared waivers, so he was not claimed, and he is a free agent. And I would say I expected that, probably like 95% of me expected mm-hmm. that. 5%, I would have thought maybe there's a team that just wants to know for themselves. But that did not happen. And as we talked about this yesterday a little bit, there's like another part to that too, which is, boy, the guy was such a punchline. Maybe we like him, but it's just risky.
Right.
Because of what people would say about us and what's my reputation as a GM, how solid is the ice beneath my feet, all that stuff. So good luck to him. We'll come back and talk some more. Sal Capaccio at 6. I actually have a golf nugget for you. If you like golf, stay tuned and try to answer the upcoming question here on WGR.
All right, we got a pair of tickets right now for caller 5 at 644-9878 to go check out Iron Maiden on their Legacy of the Beast tour. This will be Tuesday, August 13th. A little ways off. Set the day aside. The show is at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of the prize is $80. I told you I could get through this, and I'm struggling. Courtesy of Live Nation, general contest rules apply. These tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. LiveNation.com. You can win a pair right now. This is going to be a highly anticipated show that I predict sells out. This is a massive tour. It's a really cool thing that it's coming to Buffalo.
I believe I have a draft that night, actually.
Probably.
August 13th.
That is draft season.
That is draft season. At this time, I think I might have as many teams next year. I don't know. I'm upright. I am actually upright. These are critical days right now in fantasy football. Critical.
You can't just keep saying critical days for 3 weeks at a time. It really hurts the strength of the word critical. Like, it diminishes the use of critical. It just doesn't feel right.
Again, you two with what I can't do with my words.
Yep.
Twice in a row. You just don't appreciate what critical means. You never played. That's it. Mike is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi.
I guess the way I look at this whole scenario is, you know, if you think back to training camp when we really didn't know who the starter was going to be, but we thought it might have been A.J. McCarron, at least maybe that was kind of the hopes, is that he would be the veteran guy to come in and run the ship. But, you know, we talked about the scenario, well, what happens if later in the year if the Bills don't have a good record? Isn't that the ideal time to put Josh Allen in and let him play? You know, the Bills are 3-7. It doesn't matter how they got there, but they're 3-7. They're never going to get a better chance to look and see how Allen can perform. This is ideally what you know what you want to have is the pressure off and give him a chance to play. I don't think, you know, furthermore, you can compare this situation to the Chiefs last year because, you know, letting him sit and learn and then start the following year because we didn't have an Alex Smith. We're not a playoff caliber, perhaps even a championship caliber team like the Chiefs were last year. It's completely different scenarios. You got to let Allen play.
Well, you know, that's fine. This argument, thank you, Mike. This argument is fine. A lot of that is anecdotal, but I'm fine. You know, part of it presupposes that the Bills will be, like, more freewheeling in their remaining games because their record is only 3-7. And I've been sitting here for two decades waiting for that to happen in one of those seasons.
Right, I'm not ready to predict
it,
that.
No. It usually doesn't. They usually do their thing. You know, you really want to test players? Give them play four downs. I mean, just why not? You could find out even more things than just whether your quarterback is good if you did certain other things, if you experimented. But, you know, teams usually don't do that. But, you know, we'll see. I've thought the whole year that he should play. That right from the minute they drafted him, he should play. And I wouldn't want to, like, redo any of that. It still seems that was right to me. Golf. One guess. You need both answers to be correct for you to get the prize.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Close. Who are the two co-favorites for the Masters right now?
Tiger Woods. And the big jacked up guy, Koepka.
No.
Both are wrong?
I'm not telling you yet. I want to give Joe a chance.
That was going to be my two guys. So I'm going to go with Woods and Dustin Johnson.
No. Woods is right, though. Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth.
That was gettable.
At minus 900.
I was going to guess Spieth, but I thought of Koepka, and I thought, like, Koepka had a better year than Spieth.
Koepka was the player of the year.
Right.
On the tour.
So he's got all that momentum.
He definitely had a better year
Why wouldn't he be the favorite? Aren't Tiger and Phil playing that?
Next Friday.
It's pay-per-view, though, right?
Yeah, it's $20 bucks, right?
$19.99, yeah. Yeah.
I met a person who is into it.
Wow.
Like, I'm curious. I wanted it to be free and right. a cool time. But
I would definitely watch it if it were just on. I'm not paying a dime for it.
I was with my brother-in-law last night and asked him about the hockey game that day since we won't be working. He's like, no, I can't, Tiger and Phil.
But the hockey game's at 4.
When's the golf? I don't even know. Maybe it's on at the same time.
Oh, I was assuming it was like a prime time with lights like event or something. Like they did the battle when they did that thing in Arizona
yes.
a couple years ago, and that was under lights. So I assumed that they had made PGA, it a prime time event.
PGA West. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think it's next Friday.
It will begin at 3 p.m.
Oh.
Eastern time.
That conflicts with the hockey game. Didn't they think about that when they scheduled
it? Your brother-in-law had that down there.
He would know. If you're a guy that's like working
right.
around that, you would know that.
Yep.
So we should have assumed it was on at the same time
right.
because of that.
Yep. Right.
Sal Capaccio after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.